not insects. Scientists have known that some bacteria, for example, dine on petroleum waste in soil and on sugars from plants and produce chemicals that can be turned into biofuel. Researchers at MIT are working with one such bacterium called Rhodococcus. They've mapped its genome and are now trying to figure out ways to make the microbe gobble up more petroleum waste and plant sugars to more efficiently produce fuel-friendly chemicals. These kinds of bacteria could be useful in several ways. For example, because they have a taste for different kinds of sugar made by plants, the bugs could help improve the making of cellulosic ethanol fuel made by breaking down sugar in non-edible plants like switchgrass. This sort of research is still in the early stages, but there are already dozens of companies racing to become the first to use bugs to make fuel. This moment of science comes from Indiana University. There are hundreds more moments of science on our website at amomentofscience.org, where you can also view videos and sign up for podcasts. For A Moment of Science, I'm Don Glass.
In sports, the University of Illinois men came within 3 points of upsetting number 13 Purdue, but couldn't pull it off the win last night in Champaign. The Boilermakers won 84-78. Dimitri McKamey scored 28 points for the Illini, who had a 4-point lead at the break. Up next for the Illini men, Northwestern in Evanston on Saturday. The women host Iowa tomorrow. Tip-off is 7 o'clock. Kirk Heinrich is expected to return to the Chicago Bulls lineup tonight as they play the Los Angeles Clippers. Heinrich had the flu and missed Monday's 114-97 loss to Golden State. The St. Louis Blues look to start another winning streak tonight in Montreal against the Canadiens. The Blues had a 4-game streak snapped on Monday in a 4-2 loss at Columbus. And 3 key members of the Chicago Cubs still haven't reached contract agreements with the team: shortstop Ryan Terrio and pitchers Carlos Marmol and Sean Marshall remain eligible for arbitration. That's sports.
Illinois Public Media and WSIU Public Broadcasting present a primary election debate for the Democratic candidates for governor of Illinois. This debate is co-sponsored by the University of Illinois Institute for Government and Public Affairs and the Paul Simon Public Policy Institute at SIU Carbondale.
Thursday evening at 8 on WILL-TV and here on WILL-AM 580.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Pervena Covenant Medical Center, providing more options as they now accept all Health Alliance members. More information is available from your doctor. Pervena encourages you to join them in supporting WILL.
It's 2:43. Yesterday's metamorphosis of Massachusetts from blue state to red is one measure of the political difficulties facing President Obama. NPR's Don Gagne looked into how the Democrats lost one of their most reliable strongholds and found these answers in the Midwest.
The sign in front of Zinzer's Bakery in Anderson, Indiana, offers a lure to fans of the Indianapolis Colts as the team makes a bid for another Super Bowl appearance.
We have our iced, homemade, hand-decorated Colts football cookies and helmets. The smiley faces are for after the Colts win.
That's Rachel Murdoch, the chief baker at the shop. She voted for President Obama. She's a Democrat. She says she has no complaints for the president.
He inherited an economy and a complete downturn, 2 wars that just our troops should have already been pulled home from. I feel it's going to take him a little bit more time to get everything untangled from what they had thrown at him.
The city of Anderson is in Madison County, right in the state's midsection. It once boasted 25,000 General Motors manufacturing jobs. It was a company town. But over the past 3 decades, they've all disappeared, every one of them.
Hi, Don.
Customers pop into the bakery. 61-year-old Don Williams has been laid off from 2 jobs in the past 2 years. His story is not unusual. He lost his house and his pension. Now he delivers auto parts. His income has been cut in half. He voted for President Obama and says he still backs him, but he does have one gripe about the Wall Street bailout.
Give us the money instead of giving it to the banks where they won't loan the money out to you, or the mortgage companies where they won't loan it out to you. and let us spend it, because if they would have given me money, I could have paid my house off and saved everything.
The economic worries that helped turn this red state blue are now working against the president. A new Indiana poll puts Mr. Obama's approval rating at 44%, 53% disapprove.
Substantively, I think he's rubbed Hoosiers the wrong way on multiple fronts.
Mitch Daniels is the state's Republican governor.
Clearly the deficits and the apparent and reckless disregard for spending levels doesn't fit the way people here want to see their government conducted.
Back in Anderson one night last week, a group of about 20 local business people gathered for their regular networking meeting. There are Republicans, Democrats, and independents here. Republican Chuck Kyle, the owner of a local Skyline Chili restaurant, says President Obama's policies are bad for business. He says he never approved of the job the president is doing. Health care is the issue that angers him the most. Kyle says he has attended anti-Obama rallies organized by the Tea Party movement.
I kind of wonder if Mr. Obama and some of the other people that are in the White House and in the Congress, I wonder if they could just go through the process of what we have to do every week to make a payroll for 20 people. I don't think they've got a clue how that happens.
But others here who did not vote for Mr. Obama were more generous, at least offering goodwill and hope for the new president. Dwayne Landwehr runs a business resource center in Anderson.
When Obama won, I decided at that point, I want to give this guy a try. I want this guy to succeed. So I was ready and open to say, okay, let's see what you got. Let's see what you're going to do for the country.
But now, Landwehr says he's very disappointed.
Yeah, I think there is a lot of buyer's remorse.
It's not hard to find anger and frustration when you talk to people in Indiana, but even in these uncertain times, it's not difficult to find patience either. Much of the Midwest took an economic hit years before the current national downturn. People here tell you they know there's no quick fix, and absent an election like the one in Massachusetts yesterday, the buyer's remorse Mr. Landwehr talks about has nowhere to go right now. Don Gagne, NPR News.
If your health insurance covers prescriptions, you're probably a customer of a pharmacy benefit management company. You may not quite realize it. You may not even know what a pharmacy benefit management company is. But here's an explanation of one type of business that is actually growing in the recession. As Matt Sepik of St. Louis Public Radio's KWMU reports, so-called PBMs are poised for even more growth as baby boomers age and Congress works to overhaul health care.
St. Louis-based Express Scripts is now the nation's largest pharmacy benefit management company. It's an island of prosperity located near a long-shuttered car plant and an empty terminal used in the movie Up in the Air. Express Scripts employs 4,000 people here and plans to hire more when it opens a new mail-order prescription center. Chief Medical Officer Steve Miller says the company is in an economic sweet spot. With prescription demand rising, along with costs, someone needs to manage all those pills and negotiate lower prices with producers.
Pharmacy's the number one touch point in healthcare. People use their hospitals on average less than once a year. They use pharmacy on average 11 times a year.
The PBM industry emerged when health plans started covering prescriptions. Big insurance companies found negotiating with big pharma to be a big hassle, so PBMs filled the void. Today they cover more than 200 million Americans. Critics say that has marginalized small independent pharmacies because now even drugstore chains like CVS manage prescription benefits. But Express Scripts scientist Bob Neese says PBMs have the clout to check the power of drug companies.
The other way that we get buying power is by the ability to move market share. Large numbers of members from a more expensive drug to a less expensive drug.
Neese says company researchers study ways to tweak incentives to urge people toward mail-order prescriptions, for example, which are cheaper to deliver. PBMs also push generics aggressively. That's usually good for most customers, but it wasn't for Pat Cleland. She takes medication to prevent seizures. When the drug went generic, her PBM said it would only pay for the cheaper pills. But Cleland says her doctor would not allow it.
We didn't know how we were going to pay for getting a name brand in this medication. We had a partial refill from a local pharmacy It was 3 days' worth, and it was $85.
Cleland says after her doctor got involved, she was able to avoid what could have been a bureaucratic nightmare. Surveys show other customers are generally happy with PBMs, and Consumers Union healthcare analyst Stephen Findlay says they're usually on the patient's side.
They absolutely do deliver a service to workers and consumers. There's no question.
But Findlay says the downside of pharmacy benefit managers is the negative effect they've had on small independent pharmacies. At Lindenwood Drug in St. Louis, a street corner shop a world away from the Express Scripts office park, pharmacist Tom Hunt is still making a living even as similar shops have closed. But he says PBMs make it tough.
How many businesses do you know of that 80 to 90% of their sales are priced by a third party? Everything I fill on a prescription card for a patient with insurance, they're setting a price on it.
Hunt says these days he's found a niche in customer service and even fills prescriptions for pets. But with drug costs continuing to climb and Congress on the verge of expanding access to health insurance, the pharmacy benefit management industry shows no immediate signs of slowing down. For NPR News, I'm Matt Sepik in St. Louis.
Many people who try about this time of year to work off their extra holiday pounds spend time doing it in front of the television. You grab a remote, plant yourself on a balance board, and assume that you are getting a real workout there in front of the TV. NPR's Allison Keyes asks if that assumption is true.
You've seen them, the indoor fitness fanatics. Not the ones crowded into a room full of sweaty classmates, but the ones at home, working out with their TV video game trainers.
Let's work together on improving your posture. Let's do the warrior pose together.
For would-be workout warriors like 24-year-old Chris Sturbank, programs like the Nintendo Wii Fit mean motivation and sometimes big changes.
I lost about 30 pounds doing it.
He says he started out with the yoga and was encouraged by the outcome, even though it wasn't much at first.
I did it about a week with just solely Wii, and I saw that I was losing weight. I think it was like 3/4 of a pound or something, but I saw a result.
But the game eventually suggested other changes to Sturbank, which led to a better diet and a daily run of up to 20 minutes away from the TV.
The more you play it, the more it kind of responds to you. So it would say, like, if I played it real late at night, it would say, oh, try not playing it so late. But then it would also suggest, like, why not try going for a run? So I was like, okay, I'll do it.
I think I can do it on my own, and I don't need to buy a $200, $250 console to do it.
Sarah Nathan, a 22-year-old New Jersey native, says she has friends like Chris who have gotten good results from video game workouts, but she prefers real training, like running outside or on treadmills.
Normally, I try to do between, I'd say, 45 to 90 minutes of cardio daily, depending on what I'm doing.
The real thing is going to pay greater dividends in terms of calorie burn.
Cedric Bryant is chief science officer for the American Council on Exercise, which recently studied the fitness benefits of the Wii Fit and Dancetown. Dancetown is a video game where participants follow on-screen prompts to dance steps. Bryant says the study found that generally, video game workouts alone aren't enough of a good thing. Take the running games on the Wii, for example.
The free run and the island run yielded about 5.5 calories per minute. Real running, you would expect to get about twice that.
The study found that just using the Wii isn't enough for people in their 20s or for older folk who are reasonably fit. But Bryant says Dancetown's moderate and hard levels are sufficient for many older adults, especially those who are sedentary. Denitra Greer, a Washington, D.C.-based personal trainer, explains why one should combine the video game workouts with cardio and weight training.
Well, you still don't have enough resistance, and you may not have the full range of motion as you think you do, because they don't challenge that. Whereas with weight machines and exercise equipment, it challenges your range of motion, and it puts you in a place where you have to use work in certain areas versus a game system.
All right, let's do this together. Right, lock.
Greer says you should get to the gym 2 or 3 times a week in addition to your video fitness games. But Bryant hopes that just the fun of the games will get enough people off their butts and moving, and active people are healthier people. Allison Keyes, NPR News, Washington.
It's 5 minutes before 3 o'clock Central Time. You're tuned to the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Celeste Quinn. Our technical director is Henry Frain. The producer for the Afternoon Magazine is Harriet Williamson. A freezing rain advisory is in effect for northern portions of central Illinois until 6 a.m. tomorrow, and for northern Illinois and northwestern Indiana from mid-afternoon today until 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. Mike Solo's forecast for Illinois and Indiana this afternoon, cloudy and breezy across both states. In northwestern Illinois, periods of light sleet, snow, and freezing rain. In northeastern Illinois and northwestern Indiana and in central sections, freezing rain and rain. And in the south, areas of rain, highs ranging from near 30 in the north to 58 in far southern Illinois. Tonight, cloudy and breezy in the north and in central sections, freezing rain and freezing drizzle in the south, rain showers. Lows tonight ranging from 22 in northeastern Indiana to 44 in the far south. Tomorrow, cloudy and windy across the two states. Once again, in the north, some freezing rain and freezing drizzle. In central sections, freezing rain early and then rain in the south, rain showers, highs ranging from 31 in the far north to 53 in far southern Illinois. In the WILL severe weather coverage area, that freezing rain advisory covers Champaign, DeWitt, Ford, Iroquois, Livingston, McLean, Piatt, and Vermilion counties until 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. The forecast for Champaign-Urbana this afternoon, cloudy and breezy with periods of freezing rain and rain, the high 33, the wind from the east at 12 to 24 miles per hour. Tonight, cloudy and breezy with rain, and freezing drizzle. The temperature nearly steady in the low 30s, the wind from the east at 12 to 24 miles per hour. And the outlook for tomorrow, cloudy with some light freezing rain early and then periods of rain during the day, the high 37. The wind tomorrow from the east to northeast at 15 to 25 miles per hour.
Earth and Sky.
I'm Jorge Salazar. NASA's Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter has created the first map of surface temperatures on the moon. The news was announced at the American Geophysical Union meeting in late 2009. Earth Sky's Lindsay Patterson spoke to planetary scientist David Page, who oversees the lunar mission.
Thanks, Jorge. According to Dr. Page, this new thermal map of the moon features the coldest temperatures in our solar system ever directly measured. He told me about the moon's frigid North Pole.
At the North Pole during winter, solstice at midnight, the temperatures got down to 25 Kelvin in places, which is very, 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 very cold.
25 Kelvin translates to minus 258 degrees Celsius, or minus 415 degrees Fahrenheit. Dr. Page got these measurements from an instrument.